101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Meteorologist with the Weather Channel, Richard Lewelling, back. Richard, welcome back.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all this morning?
We're fine. Well, we've got a real funky gremlin on the phone line
there.
You
have a bear in the room with you or something.
Yeah.
I've got a bear in the room. You know, Ruben told me I had a bear in the room with me, but
yeah, you gotta lock up the bear.
I tell you what, let me do this. Hold
okay.
on a second.
All right.
It's 35 degrees right now, Aaron.
That's what it's looking like, yeah.
35 now, which it should be.
Let's see.
Do I still have a bear?
No, you sound great.
Bear's gone. Good.
Oh, yeah. It must have been these cheap headphones I was using.
Oh, well, there you go. Richard, we're at 35 now, but we're going to get back into the 80s this week. What the heck's going on?
Yeah, this is one of these deep troughs that have dropped down out of Canada into much of the central part of the country. And this trough is pretty small and, you know, pretty isolated. Of course, it's going to bring a lot of lake effect snows to parts of the Great Lakes and, you know, chilly temperatures all the way down into the deep south, but already starting to see the beginnings of a big warm-up that's on the way. In fact, we're going to go from the 30s tonight to 80 degrees by Wednesday, and we'll be in the low 80s Thursday and Friday. So you don't like the weather, give it a minute. It's going to change, and that's exactly what we're going to be dealing with, you know, and as we head on into the weekend, it looks like our next chance of rain showers are going to return to the forecast. So, you know, as we get ready to wrap up the State Fair of Louisiana here, it looks like we are going to be looking at some rain chances back in the forecast for Saturday and Sunday. So if you're going to the fair this week, try to get in during the work week this week, because I think that's when the best weather is going to be, all the way up until about Saturday midday, and then that's when the rain chances should make a return.
This is the first time in 40 plus years that I can remember that the fair has had kind of a completely dry run.
Beautiful weather.
It's been incredible, and it's not open today or tomorrow, so by Wednesday when it's back open, it's going to be 80, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday look great, but maybe Saturday could be their first wash of the year, huh?
Yeah, it looks like Saturday night into Sunday is probably when our best chances of rain are going to come in, and the temperatures this weekend are going to range anywhere between 75 and 80. Nighttime lows will be in the 50s and 60s, so, you know, really not all that bad. Of course, the rain chances are going to start to go up late in the weekend. So, you know, I think as we close out the fair, especially as we get towards Sunday, that's when our best chances of rain are going to be.
And I've got the Weather Channel app on my phone open, and it says chance of snow, 0%.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa, I'm excited. Well, we didn't, I don't think, did we get as cold as we were anticipating this morning? My car said 40 on my drive-in, but it did dip a little lower, you know, earlier this morning. But we didn't get anywhere near freezing in this part of the area, right?
Yeah, right now it looks like Minden is the closest where we see temperatures below freezing. It's 32 there, and up in northern Claiborne Parish, we're seeing some low 30s. But here for Shreveport, Bossier itself, you know, for Caddo and Bossier Parish, we're seeing temperatures mostly in the mid-30s right now, you know, but some outlying areas, you know, away from the concrete and pavement and all of that, you know, especially as you get on out to some of them rural areas, you're going to find some temperatures down to the low 30s this morning. So it is pretty chilly out there, but, you know, already starting to see signs of the big warm-up coming as we make our way on here through the rest of the week. You know, looking at the Climate Prediction Center's outlook, you know, as we look at the next 6 to 10 days, temperatures right here over the Arklatex, a bullseye of above average temperatures. Precipitation chances will be going up, you know, late in the weekend. We hold on to above average temperatures all the way out through, looks like lead up to Thanksgiving. But then as we start to make our way into the week 3 and 4 outlook, which will take us from Thanksgiving out through the first week of December, temperatures are going to continue to remain above average for us here. And it looks like just equal chances of precipitation. But, you know, even if you look at the drought monitor, it looks like we are going to be looking at a widespread drought that's going to develop for the Arklatex as we move on into November, December, and January. So I think we're going to be looking at a lot of dry weather coming up and relatively mild temperatures as we move on into the winter season for us here in the Ark-La-Tex. You know, we'll get these little brief spurts of cold weather, but, you know, really nothing's advertising any big frigid cold weather coming anytime soon. I think this is just kind of a preview of what we may see over the winter, and it's only going to last for 48 hours, and it's out of here, and we're back to the warmth.
Wow. When are we going to be seeing, getting out of the 80s? When are we going to start seeing that winter weather steady and, you know, 50s and 60s for our highs?
You know, I think that's going to happen next week. I think we will see temperatures, you know, we're going to get out of the 80s by the end of this weekend. We'll go into the 60s and 70s next week. You know, so I think this is probably going to be, you know, probably one of the last chances of the year that we may see temperatures, you know, getting into the lower 80s. But, you know, and there may be a day or two in December where we may see, you know, an 80-degree day. But usually, if that happens, severe weather's not too far behind. You know, that's one of those things that we'll have to look at. Advertising, you know, mostly 60s and 70s as we get into next week. So I think that's going to be the trend next week for sure.
One thing, Richard, let me ask you, these mid-30s for this morning, November 10th, is this a little early for our temps to get this cold, or is this pretty typical?
No, this is fairly early for us here. In fact, a lot of locations today, you know, especially off to our east, are going to be looking at daytime highs only in the 40s, especially over into Mississippi and into Alabama today. Record low maximum temperatures are expected today over in parts of the Mississippi Delta and points eastward. You know, so this is kind of early for us to see these below average temperatures. And that's the trend for a lot of places, areas up in the Great Lakes, especially from Chicago on over to Cleveland. They're running as much as 20 degrees below average for this time of the year. They should normally be in the 50s, and they're only looking at daytime temperatures in the 20s and 30s with lake effect snows up there today.
Everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. Except those cloud seeders. Richard, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate, y'all have a great Monday.
Appreciate the update. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, let's see. Nothing special about today. Don't throw anything at me.
Yeah. I get goosebumps when I start. The Marines, the United States Marines, 250 years old today. I don't want to tear up, but as the mom of two Marines.
Active duty Marines.
Yes. And the daughter of an Okinawa veteran. May he rest in peace. You're going to indulge me today.
Absolutely.
This is, it's not the whole piece. You can see the whole piece at on our Keel Facebook page, but this is a portion of the salute today to the United States Marines on the 250th birthday.
Cream rises to the top, and that's what we have in the Marine Corps today. The Marine Corps is the operational Marine Corps, but there's another aspect of the Marine Corps. It's the former Marines or former active duty who are out there in all walks of life. It's amazing when you think of it.
Being in service was a privilege. It was the best time of our lives, but it was a sacrifice. And your family is part of that sacrifice. And Marine wives or Marine spouses, they deserve a lot of credit as well. The kids, being uprooted, moving. It's a sacrifice to serve our country.
Without the support of their loved ones and their immediate family, it's hard for them to complete their job. So again, it's so important for military families and Marine Corps families to understand that their role and the role that they play in supporting their loved one while serving is just as important.
For 250 years, we have proven there is no better friend and no worse enemy than a U.S. Marine.
For those people who wish evil upon the greater good, David Bellavia said it best. You know, somebody else will raise your children.
To the enemies of our nation, don't get comfortable. Whether you're in the air, at sea, or on the ground, we adapt. We always have, and we always will.
Your $200 puffer keeps you warm at the... You step outside, you're left looking like a stack of wet tires.
It's down to one-on-one, mano-a-mano, and you turn us loose. I can promise you this. You're not going to survive.
From our first amphibious landing at Nassau to the black sands of Iwo Jima to urban combat in Fallujah, our Corps has come a long way since Samuel Nichols first took command of two battalions at Tun Tavern. Though weapons, platforms, and technology continue to evolve, our individual Marines' grit, discipline, resolve remain our decisive advantage.
For 2.5 centuries, Marines have preserved our legacy as America's premier expeditionary force because we are forward, ready, and lethal. From the moment a Marine earns their Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, they inherit a rich tradition of honor, courage, and commitment, a legacy that is etched on our souls forever. Our history is one of winning our nation's battle, and make no mistake, we will be called to fight again. We will be ready, and we will win.
Since our foundation, we have fought in every clime and place, upholding our oath and preserving who we are, the few and the proud. But we cannot break stride. We must continue to train for the next fight, because victory will go to those who seize the initiative, impose their will, and never yield. The pursuit of excellence in the profession of arms is our heritage, forged by an unbreakable fighting spirit. The memorial behind us stands as a testament to that fact. We stand on the shoulders of the giants that came before us. We must not fail them. The challenge is on all of us every day to uphold the standard that the title Marine demands.
Happy 250th birthday, Marines. Semper Fidelis.
And trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
So late Friday, I'm kind of freaking going, okay, YouTube TV and Disney still at it.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm not going to be able to watch anything.
Oh, no.
Not going to be able to watch Game Day. No games on ESPN, which is most of the games are on ESPN and ABC.
Mm-hmm.
As far as college football.
Right.
And certainly won't be able to watch the LSU game.
Oh, no.
So I'm going, okay, fine. I'm tired of this. I switched. I canceled.
Oh,
canceled
no.
YouTube TV.
And
I switched. My daughter has Hulu Plus Live TV.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, Hulu is part of the ABC Disney family.
Ah, okay. So you get all the games.
I got games. Aaron, I got Louisiana Tech. I got Northwestern.
Wow.
I got games. I thought there's 6,000 college football games on.
Man.
They're not all Georgia and Florida.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And LSU and Alabama. But there's a lot. If you want to watch football, my mm-hmm. gosh.
Yeah. Missing anything so that you were getting on YouTube that you can't get now?
I don't know
Hadn't
yet.
Haven't figured it out yet? Okay.
It's a clunkier interface.
Oh, yeah. I think that'll be one of those learning curves. Once you get
sure,
it, you'll get it.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. But so you're able to watch the game.
As far as like TV, I don't watch a lot of Animal Planet or home shopping networks. I don't care about all of those. We're going to view 700 channels. Well, I watched three.
Why hasn't some company come up with a plan like a buffet? Like, I can order the channels I love.
Just give me the five that I want.
I want HBO.
And pay for those.
I want Bravo. I want the networks.
Yeah.
And the Food Network. Give me the 20 I want.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them can go away.
Right. I stream 98% of what I watch.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I DVR and then watch it back.
Yeah.
I don't watch the NFL in live time at all. They have that highlight package now where you can just fast forward from play to big play to big play. It's the best.
So I'm watching the LSU game, increasingly going, why the hell did I switch? I could have missed this.
Yeah.
Aaron. Oh my gosh. And I was texting, you know, I've got a couple buddies that we've got a text chain that goes back 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
At least.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, at one point, is Nussmeier not the guy? Nussmeier not the guy? And Aaron, 10 minutes later, they pulled him.
Yeah. Lots of hype about him, though. Tons of hype. And he was a Heisman candidate. Remember the beginning of the season?
Oh, I know.
Running Heisman candidate.
Well, and we were ranked number three at one point, too.
5-4 now.
It's just embarrassingly frustrating.
Got to get one more win. We play Arkansas this weekend. It's an 11:45 kickoff, which I hate.
Yes,
but,
I do too.
We got to win out, you know, to be bowl eligible. I think you got to have 6 wins. So we got to win one more, I should say.
Yeah.
But what bowl do you go to?
We should be able to get one more win.
Yeah, what bowl do you go to, though? I'm like,
I know.
And is it worth, and then Sunday, I really watched the Saints win a game.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy cow.
There was one where I was like, I didn't watch it live because I had some stuff going on. And I thought, do I want to watch this? Mm. Do I want to watch it? And I looked it up. Mm. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Look at the Saints. So that's what I did on my afternoon. I did end up watching the game.
Oh, wow. So, wow.
I'll let you know about how it works out. Mm. I didn't even get a chance to watch the Grand Prix.
You didn't?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch. And so, I haven't looked it up, so I don't even know.
Oh, you want me to tell you who won?
Sure.
Lando.
Oh, I love good.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I did look it up because Max started in the pit and ended up third.
Wow.
I did look it up.
Yeah. Texting with Mike Johnson as we speak. Any chance for today? I know it's a long shot. He sends me a smiley face. I can do a segment anytime in the first half hour of the show on my way to the Capitol this morning. He's a go for 7:10. Just gave me a thumbs up.
Mike Johnson.
I'm texting with him. What on earth is my life like? Wow.
Awesome. Well, so we'll find out about the government shutdown.
Yeah, boy.
You'll hear it first. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We get thousands of letters a week asking about Reuben. So, Reuben, how was your weekend? I don't want to leave you out.
It was fantastic. I went downtown. I went to the Capri Theater to see a couple of bands, Sauce and Good Spirits.
I heard the Capri was back open.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. They turned it into a music venue, and it's great.
Sweet. All right. Last time I was there was one of the film prize weekends. They were using that as one of the venues.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go watch the different slates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was so cool. So cool.
It's amazing.
Was downtown pretty calm?
It's where I was super calm. Now, when we left, we saw we were in our lift and we saw the after party of the Lil Boosie show.
Ah, okay. They had a bit of a crowd?
And it was a crowd, but everything seemed calm enough. There were food trucks out.
Good.
And, you know, people were just walking around.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Well, they had the big command center down there. Shadow sheriff's deputies were there.
Yeah.
They
I
had
saw
all
the
kind
pictures.
of all kind of patrols down there, so they beefed it up big time.
Shreveport police was not playing.
Mm-hmm. No, they were not. Definitely not.
This weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that, too, coming up. Also, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson joining us at 7:10, giving us an update on the government shutdown. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
This is one of those weekends where I'm like, I'm glad to get back to work.
Really? You were busy? Lots going on.
Helping my mom move.
Okay.
Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Busy, busy. That's yeah. always busy.
Wow. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, I took pictures with, I'm sorry, I was there while Santa took pictures with about 100 dogs.
Oh, wow.
Over the course of the Sunday afternoon.
Oh, my gosh.
We were at the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana, was at Flying Heart.
Oh, cool.
In Bossier. They've got that stage in the back.
Yeah.
And so we get it set up, and Santa's there, and people bring their dogs.
To get their portrait with Santa.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And the girl that did they have a professional photographer there.
Oh, my gosh.
And she did a great job, because you've got a short window. It's like if you've got a three-year-old. And you're trying to get a picture with a three-year-old.
Yes, yes.
Maybe they look at the camera at some point.
Right.
Well, imagine with dogs. And some people bring gosh. Two and three or four dogs at one time.
Oh.
So they go.
I'm curious. Does the dog doesn't get in Santa's lap, does he?
Some do, sure.
Okay.
Some do.
Do they ever teachy in Santa's lap?
Believe me, I was conscious of this. And I don't want to say no, because I don't want to.
You put a red towel on your lap or something?
Jinx myself. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, just get you a red towel. It matches your suit.
Or a festive pillow.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But Santa's been lucky, but I don't want to say that because
yeah,
I don't want to jinx.
I went to see the movie Sarah's Oil, by the way.
Never heard of it.
Over the weekend.
Don't know.
It is done by Russell Wilson and his wife, Sierra, I guess.
It's quarterback for the Seahawks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's a true, real life story of a young girl, 11-year-old girl in Oklahoma, who was given 160 acres as part of the settlement back then in 1910, I think. And her fight to keep her land because she knew it had oil. And danged if it didn't have oil. And
wow.
It was a monster. It's a really great movie. Great movie. I strongly encourage. It's going to be a big Oscar contender, I'm sure.
Wow. What's it called? Well.
Sarah's Oil.
Sarah's Oil.
Mm-hmm. And had a crowd in the theater on a Friday morning. I went shortly after I left here, and I thought, I'll be the only one in the theater. Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was packed. Yeah. Had a big crowd, and it's a great little movie. I mean, really well done. And just to watch her story and her fight for her land. She's a kid. She's going to court. She's fighting these big oil companies. I mean, yeah, it's one of those stories that warms your heart.
Okay.
Yeah, really, it really is well done.
Mm. Speaking of, House Democrats have opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
Come across the aisle.
Yes.
Kudos to you.
You bet.
And we'll have House Speaker Mike Johnson joining us.
Yeah.
Coming up. I know it's the Senate, but we have
No. I'm just amazed that we have the Speaker.
I know.
He's en route to the Capitol right now, and he's going to take a minute to join us.
To join Mike and McCarty.
Oh, a little old piddly old show.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
I know.
It's pretty awesome.
He's my lead kickball guy, though, you know, so.
He's got to hold up his end. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. So nervous. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Me too.
Mike and McCarty.
He's a big shot.
On the Jack Spring. Look at my screen. Look. I took that picture too, by the way.
Wow.
House Speaker Mike Johnson joining us. Speaker, good morning.
Hey, guys, it is a good morning. Much better morning on Capitol Hill.
Absolutely. Before we get to that, I just real quick, 20 seconds. Are you in a motorcade right now?
No, I just stepped out. I got to the Capitol on time. We ran sirens, so you wouldn't have to hear that.
Wow.
How many people are in the car with you when you leave?
Well, I got, believe it or not, I have three Suburbans, I have a police car in the front and in the back, and I have a tactical unit, literally a truck full of guys in SWAT gear with their guns drawn at all times. It's crazy times.
You can't even believe it. So the government shutdown, is it over? What is the status? Give us the lowdown.
Well, it's the beginning of the end. Last night, they had a successful cloture vote. You know, 60-40 was the vote last night. Only one Republican, Rand Paul, who I can never figure out, voted against it. But you had eight Democrats cross over, and they did the right thing. You know, mm-hmm. This is madness. Mm-hmm. This is now the longest shutdown in U.S. history, and some have called it the Seinfeld shutdown. It's literally about nothing. Chuck Schumer is the one that is the architect of the shutdown. He changed his tune almost daily. He kept moving the ball, you know, changing his demands. It was never about health care or any other issue. It was about him getting political cover from the rise of Marxism and the Democratic Party in his state.
Now, do they have to vote again, and then it goes to you guys on the House side?
Yes, they're working on the next stage of it. We expect that they will fast forward it, and no one will hold it up. And so that means instead of the 30 hours for each next stage of debate and all that, they'll run through it quickly, hopefully, and get it done maybe as early as today. So I'm going to have all the House members on a 36-hour return notice. That's how much time it takes to get everybody back, because we have people all the way on the West Coast and, you know, even overseas. So they'll get here, and we'll vote ASAP to get the government back open. And this, what happened last night, y'all, vindicates the position I've had since the beginning. Remember, the House did the right thing. We did the obvious thing. We passed a continuing resolution, a clean resolution, no partisan gimmicks attached at all, just simple, keep the lights on. I did it back September 19th. It seems like a lifetime ago now, but we've been waiting for the Senate to do the right thing. They finally are moving in that direction.
So your vote could be Wednesday or Thursday is what you're planning or looking at?
As soon as possible. I would love to do it on Wednesday. If the Senate can move quickly, then that can be possible. And then everybody gets relief. And look, included in this vote, is that obviously the government reopens completely until January 30th, which is just ironically my birthday. I don't know. Maybe it's a good omen. I don't know. We keep it open until then, and we'll work everything out between then and now and then. It will fully fund the SNAP program all the way through the end of the next fiscal year, which is September of 2026. We're going to make sure all the federal workers get their back pay that they've had to endure this terrible time during the shutdown. And we will keep government in operation again. There are lots of debates to be done on the unfinished business for the end of this year, but we got time to do that. And we'll get everybody back, and we'll be working around the clock to get it done.
Mike, you faced criticism for not having the House open during this shutdown. How do you answer that criticism?
Well, I've just been vindicated. I mean, what they wanted us to do is crazy things. Remember, the counterproposal that the Senate, that Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats filed to our simple nonpartisan continuing resolution was to spend $1.5 trillion with a T of brand new spending at a time when the country cannot afford it. But it was on crazy things. They were demanding we restore $200 billion to fund health care for illegal aliens again. That's taxpayers would pay for that. They were demanding that we send billions and billions of dollars back overseas to foreign countries for crazy social programs like LGBTQI awareness in the Horn of Africa and stuff like that. I mean, just a long list of madness. They wanted to pull $50 billion out of the Rural Hospital Support Fund that we just got signed into law on July 4th. It was a Republican priority. They wanted to strip it out. And all kinds of other crazy stuff. They wanted to fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Right.
I mean,
that's where it was.
$1.5 trillion of crazy things that they knew that we could never agree with, that I would never allow.
Let's talk SNAP just a minute. The president won the Supreme Court battle. He's now directed states who are paying full SNAP benefits to stop, or they could face problems. Louisiana's not paying full benefits, but we are paying some. Should Louisiana keep doing that?
Well, it should all be a moot point here now in the next 48 hours. So Governor Landry sent me a text last night. He and I are going back and forth. I'm trying to get him a good answer. Hats off to Louisiana, one of the handful of states that took initiative to make sure that people literally didn't go hungry because of the Democrats' nonsense up here. And they were doing heroic work. And by the way, the White House did not appeal those rulings gleefully. It was reluctantly. The problem is there was no money left in the SNAP account. And so we had a federal judge basically violating the separation of powers and telling the executive branch they had to raid other bank accounts.
Where does the SNAP money go, though? I mean, the money's still coming in. That's what I didn't understand.
Well, on the state level, they're basically using state funds and moving things around and praying that they get reimbursed. And obviously, we're going to work to make sure that happens. But the problem is there was this contingency fund that the Democrats kept saying, oh, they need to use. Well, it costs a little over $9 billion a month to fund SNAP because it goes to 42 million recipients, okay? We only had a little over $5 billion in the account. So the point the White House was making to the court is that there's not enough. We want to fund them. I mean, remember, the White House bent over backwards to make sure that our troops did not miss a paycheck, you know, that the WIC funding, the Women, Infants, and Children funds for the nutrition supplement were funded. They had to be creative and find other accounts to do those things, but those accounts did not exist for SNAP. So the problem was the court was ordering the White House to do something that they literally did not have the money to do. That was the problem.
President is talking about sending us all $2,000 stimulus checks now over the weekend. He put that out there again. You think that's something Congress will support and pass?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I talked with him about it last night. I was with him. I met him at the Commanders game just so we could have time, FaceTime, because he's been traveling and I've been all over the place. But there's a lot of things we have to resolve. And look, the tariff revenue is bringing in, it'll be bringing trillions of dollars, okay? So the question that we all have to decide together, he and I and the whole Congress, is do we want to pay down some of the national debt or do you want to somehow distribute that in payments to families and all of that? There are different ideas, different priorities. We've got to figure it out. But, I mean, my first inclination is to try to tackle this federal debt, y'all, because it's $38 trillion, and the higher it goes, the more that costs everyone in the long run. So we've got to be good stewards of this. So we'll figure it out.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, unbelievable that you agreed to join us this morning. I know it's a busy day, and we've got lots to go ahead.
I know you do. The Supreme Court is looking at that, or there were some federal judges that are trying to block Trump's tariff moves. What's the latest on that?
Well, we're awaiting the outcome of the Supreme Court case, and they had the oral argument last week, and you know, lots of people trying to read between the tea leaves there. But I told them I used to litigate those federal court cases. Don't read too much into what the judges are saying from the bench. You know, this is sort of part of the judicial review process. So we're hopeful that it'll get sorted out. I mean, the president's use of tariffs has created real leverage in America's trade.
Absolutely.
The results speak for themselves. So, you know, as he points out all the time, free trade only works when it's fair, you know. So I hope the court will give deference to his ability to use that. The Congress has a role, of course. I'm a jealous guardian of Article 1 of the Constitution. The legislative branch is the most important one. But I don't think that the president has stepped outside of his lane in using that authority as he has thus far. And that's what the court ultimately has to decide.
Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We love you. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Same here. Mm-hmm. Great to hear your voices, guys.
You too. Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So I'm driving into work early this morning, and my SWAT vehicle behind me with the armed guards.
And the police car in front with the sirens on.
The police, yeah.
God, how has your life changed in the last three years? I don't know how long you've been.
Crazy.
It's little Mikey. Seriously.
Little Mikey J.
He's got armed guards watching over him. Unbelievable.
Because we were talking when we got him set up, and we were talking, he said he would on his way into work, So then we got to thinking, okay, what does he have? Who's in the car with him?
What's his on his way into work look like?
Right. Yeah. Who's in the car? He's probably got a secretary with him in the car.
Some sort of assistant.
Outlining the day and what he's got going on. And of course, a driver.
Yes.
And
I'm sure there's a Secret Service in the car with him.
I would think so.
And I'm sure
maybe in the front seat, or something. But three Suburbans, he said.
Unreal.
Just to go to work in the morning. Three Suburbans, including a fully armed SWAT vehicle.
Mm.
Aaron, that's kind of scary, quite frankly.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
I will never forget the day he got elected to Congress. That week we had him on, and we asked him about, are you going to move? Or are you going to get a house there? What's your plan? He goes, I'm just going to sleep in my office. I'm going to put a little bed in
little
the back.
Little bitty office.
I mean,
there.
He got a little bitty tiny office.
Yes.
So he had a little bitty tiny couch or bed put in there, and he was going to sleep in his office. And I don't know how long he slept in his office, but right. He literally did. And I'm sure he had to eat all meals out. Maybe he put a little hot plate in there. I don't know. But from those days
a
when he's...
A little hot plate. Sounds like Gomer Pyle in the back of the garage. In the back of the garage.
Sounds
the gas
like
station.
A little college student in his dorm room, And now he's got a... armored vehicle escorting him to work.
The largest office with a huge balcony.
Oh, man. No kidding. I'm sure his living arrangements have changed, too.
I do wish I could go and see his office while he's still there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And get a tour.
You would get the royal red carpet.
I know.
That's the thing.
I know.
I so want to do it as well, but we'll have to make the time happen. You got to make it happen. So
Thank you to Mike for, not that he's listening to us at the moment, but for jumping on with us, giving us an update. Great news, by the way.
Yes.
Great news. If you haven't heard, if you're just waking up, eight Democrats have crossed the aisle, if you will, and are now negotiating the reopening of the federal government. And if you miss that conversation with Mike, we will play that back next hour.
Absolutely.
Well.
You bet.
Incredible. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, your local news next.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
File this under the "you just can't win" category.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shreveport police downtown over the weekend.
Yeah.
After, of course, weekend before was Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Which we all know what happened downtown on Halloween weekend.
Sure.
Friday night was an embarrassing Ratchet City display. So last weekend, Shreveport police brought out everything.
Oh, yeah. They threw everything at it.
They had the mobile command center. They had the SWAT van. They had vans out.
Sheriffs was out there with them. Yeah.
Yes. And we get a message. Everyone talked on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Everyone's talking about the police downtown, but there were 3 minutes of continuous gunfire in Moortown and Cedar Grove. Had a man dragging a woman by the hair while he carried an axe.
Oh, gosh.
We need balance.
Mm.
If we tell all the criminals the police will be downtown and we're short-staffed, isn't that creative? You just can't win.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I know. You're right.
You just... Where are the police downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the police are downtown.
Where are the
police in Cedar Grove?
Did I say? They're going to move. The crowds are going to move. They know what's going on. They're going to move to where they can do whatever they want to do.
Cold weather. If you're waking up this morning, a little cool outside, a little chilly on your wheelie. How long will it last? Well, Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel joined us. And hear what he's got to say next. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Seven FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Meteorologist with the Weather Channel, Richard Llewellyn, back. Richard, welcome back.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all this morning?
We're fine. Oh. Well, we've got a real funky gremlin on the phone line
there.
You
have a bear in the room with you or something.
Yeah.
I've got a bear in the room. You know, Ruben told me I had a bear in the room with me. But
yeah, you
got
to lock up the bear.
I tell you what, let me do this. Hold
okay.
on a second.
All right.
It's 35 degrees right now, Aaron.
That's what it's looking like, yeah.
35 now, which it should be.
Let's see.
Do I still have a bear?
No, you sound great.
Bear's gone. Good.
Oh, yeah. It must have been these cheap headphones I was using.
Oh, well, there you go. Richard, we're at 35 now, but we're going to get back into the 80s this week. What the X going on?
Yeah, this is one of these deep troughs that have dropped down out of Canada into much of the central part of the country. And this trough is pretty small and, you know, pretty isolated. Of course, it's going to bring a lot of lake effect snows to parts of the Great Lakes and, you know, chilly temperatures all the way down into the deep south, but already starting to see a big warm-up that's on the way. In fact, we're going to go from the 30s tonight to 80 degrees by Wednesday, and we'll be in the low 80s Thursday and Friday. So you don't like the weather, give it a minute. It's going to change, and that's exactly what we're going to be dealing with, you know, and as we head on into the weekend, it looks like our next chance of rain showers are going to return to the forecast. So, you know, as we get ready to wrap up the State Fair of Louisiana here, it looks like we are going to be looking at some rain chances back in the forecast for Saturday and Sunday. So if you're going to the fair this week, try to get in during the work week this week, because I think that's when the best weather is going to be, all the way up until about Saturday midday, and then that's when the rain chances should make a return.
This is the first time in 40-plus years that I can remember that the fair has had kind of a completely dry run.
Beautiful weather.
It's been incredible, and it's not open today or tomorrow, so by Wednesday when it's back open, it's going to be 80, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday look great, but maybe Saturday could be their first wash of the year, huh?
Yeah, it looks like Saturday night into Sunday is probably when our best chances of rain are going to come in, and the temperatures this weekend are going to range anywhere between 75 and 80. Nighttime lows will be in the 50s and 60s, so, you know, really not all that bad. Of course, the rain chances are going to start to go up late in the weekend. So, you know, I think as we close out the fair, especially as we get towards Sunday, that's when our best chances of rain are going to be.
And I've got the Weather Channel app on my phone open, and it says chance of snow, 0%.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa, I'm excited. Well, we didn't, I don't think, did we get as cold as we were anticipating this morning? My car said 40 on my drive-in, but it did dip a little lower, you know, earlier this morning. But we didn't get anywhere near freezing in this part of the area, right?
Yeah, right now it looks like Minden is the closest to where we see temperatures below freezing. It's 32 there, and up in northern Claiborne Parish, we're seeing some low 30s. But here for Shreveport, Bossier itself, you know, for Caddo and Bossier Parish, we're seeing temperatures mostly in the mid-30s right now, you know, but some outlying areas, you know, away from concrete and pavement and all of that, you know, especially some of them rural areas, you're going to find some temperatures down to the low 30s this morning. So it is pretty chilly out there, but, you know, already starting to see signs of the big warm-up coming as we make our way on here through the rest of the week. You know, looking at the Climate Prediction Center's outlook, you know, as we look at the next 6 to 10 days, temperatures right here over the Arklatex, a bullseye of above average temperatures. Precipitation chances will be going up, you know, late in the weekend. We hold on to above average temperatures all the way out through, looks like lead up to Thanksgiving. But then as we start to make our way into the week 3 and 4 outlook, which will take us from Thanksgiving out through the first week of December, temperatures are going to continue to remain above average for us here. And it looks like just equal chances of precipitation. But, you know, even if you look at the drought monitor, it looks like we are going to be looking at a widespread drought that's going to develop for the Arklatex as we move on into November, December, and January. So I think we're going to be looking at a lot of dry weather coming up and relatively mild temperatures as we move on into the winter season for us here in the Arklatex. You know, we'll get these little brief spurts of cold weather, but, you know, really nothing's advertising any big frigid cold weather coming anytime soon. I think this is just kind of a preview of what we may see over the winter, and it's only going to last for 48 hours, and it's out of here, and we're back to the warmth.
Wow. When are we going to be seeing getting out of the 80s? When are we going to start seeing that winter weather steady and, you know, 50s and 60s for our highs?
You know, I think that's going to happen next week. I think we will see temperatures, you know, we're going to get out of the 80s by the end of this weekend. We'll go into the 60s and 70s next week. You know, so I think this is probably going to be, you know, probably one of the last chances of the year that we may see temperatures, you know, getting into the lower 80s. But, you know, and there may be a day or two in December where we may see, you know, an 80-degree day. But usually if that happens, severe weather's not too far behind. You know, that's one of those things that we'll have to look at. Oh, but right now, advertising, you know, mostly 60s and 70s as we get into next week. So I think that's going to be the trend next week for sure.
One thing, Richard, let me ask you, these mid-30s for this morning, November 10th, is this a little early for our temps to get this cold, or is this pretty typical?
No, this is fairly early for us here. In fact, a lot of locations today, you know, especially off to our east, are going to be looking at daytime highs only in the 40s, especially over into Mississippi and into Alabama today. Record low maximum temperatures are expected today over in parts of the Mississippi Delta and points eastward. You know, so this is kind of early for us to see these below average temperatures. And that's the trend for a lot of places, areas up in the Great Lakes, especially from Chicago on over to Cleveland. They're running as much as 20 degrees below average for this time of the year. They should normally be in the 50s, and they're only looking at daytime temperatures in the 20s and 30s with lake effect snows up there today.
Everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. Except those cloud seeders. Richard, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate, y'all have a great Monday.
Appreciate the update. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Did you make sausage balls? I didn't even ask you. Okay, good, because your TV would be covered in grease.
Yes, it would. It would. And see, Bo's not there still. He's still with
Bo.
A friend. And
good.
He's living large.
Yes.
He's having the best time. He's got his girlfriend over there. He's got two girlfriends over there. He's got a big old yard. He's having the best time. And I'm sad when I have to take him back. But I know they're sick of him, I'm sure. Because he's a big boy.
I doubt it. He's a good boy.
They do love him. They really do take good care of him.
So you watched the game. Did you watch it live, or did you record it?
No, I watched it on the recording, and I'm just disappointed. I'm just,
you think?
5-4 is just not good enough. And then I'm seeing all this talk about Saban was flown into Baton Rouge from Texas Tech, you know, after he finished game day. There was a private plane that flew him from there to Baton Rouge, and I don't know what to believe. What are they offering him?
Okay, I was texting with my buddies, and I said, okay, putting aside non-competes, current contracts, if you could choose anybody to replace Brian Kelly. And immediately, one of my friends who's longtime LSU, he's on the boards. He said Saban.
I know.
And I said, you know what? And then one of my others says, how cool would that be for him to come back after his career, come back to LSU and win a championship?
Oh, wow. Wow.
I said, yeah, I'd watch that movie.
Oh, there would be a love fest. I mean, and I was in Baton Rouge when visiting family for Christmas when he made the late Christmas night dash out to go to Miami to be an NFL coach.
Right.
I mean, it happened over the Christmas weekend.
And a lot of people forget that. These Saban haters.
Oh.
Think they think he left to go to Alabama.
Nope.
He didn't.
He went to the NFL.
He went to the NFL.
But
and you can't blame somebody.
He did it in such a sleazy way over the Christmas break. Leaving us in a lurch. It was like, oh, you P.O.S. But, you know, I would welcome him back. I really would.
I would, too.
I'm all down with it.
I would, too.
Bring me some Saban. I'm just saying. I don't know what else to tell you.
Because there's not a lot of not a lot of options out there right now.
No, no, they're not. And you know, would Lane Kiffin touch the job? I doubt it. Do you want the guy who was the guy fired from Penn State? Franklin?
No, I don't want Franklin.
I don't want Franklin. I don't know who you want. I'm not sure. Not sure.
Shreveport police, strong presence in downtown Shreveport over the weekend. We'll talk about that after the local news. And also Mike Johnson next hour. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app. FM 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, if you were going to cut up over the weekend downtown under the Texas Street Bridge, was not the place to do it.
Oh no!
Nor around Stage Works. Looks like they were staged down there. Talking about the Shreveport Police, they had the mobile command unit. They had looks like this armored SWAT vehicle.
Jeez.
They had a cattle pair of sheriff's deputies with canine units, vans. They were ready.
There was a little boozy concert. What night was that, Ruben? Was that Saturday night? You're not on.
That was Saturday.
Okay.
I was actually downtown at the Capri Theater, and on the Lyft ride back home, we drove through what seemed to be the after party for that.
It was well behaved for the most part, is what I'm hearing.
It was really busy. There were people all over the place. There were food trucks out there, and everybody seemed to be behaving.
Cops were very visible, though, I would assume.
Oh yeah, even though they weren't like posted where I was at the Capri Theater, I was constantly seeing them drive past.
Ah, okay.
Okay, now wait a minute. You were at the Capri Theater?
Yeah.
For?
The Sauce and Good Spirits show.
Okay.
Two really amazing local bands, by the way. They killed it. It was.
But
amazing.
You were out of there long before midnight, right?
Yeah, I got out of there maybe. I was home by 11:45. So.
Okay.
And Lil Boozy was where?
I don't know where he was.
I saw a picture of him at Bally's. So I don't know if the show was at Bally's or if that's just where he was staying. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I don't know where the concert was. I'm sorry, I don't know. But from all the things I'm hearing, it was okay. But again, like you said, you listed all the cops that were down there and what was going on, so they knew they had better behave.
But did they bring all of this because of one concert?
Oh, no, no, no. They did this in reaction to what happened last weekend.
Right.
On Halloween night. They beefed up this plan. Now, they are having a public safety committee meeting today at 1:30. They're going to be talking about a lot of things, including, you know, cameras, police cars, sure. Use of the command center, and so much more. But and I'm sure they will review, how did we do over the weekend? What was the response? Did we have any problems? Because I was seeing, like you, I was seeing shots fired calls popping up on social media from all around town that people were hearing gunshots, like 20 shots for heard in this area, in that area. So, you know, I don't know if it was just you took resources from one area to, and it was like I said before, and when the chief was here, you know, these folks know, hey, there's a lot of police downtown. Let's move our party to Ford Park, or let's move our party to the Fant Parkway. So I don't know if that was the case or not. I'm not sure.
Well, they certainly had they had them out in force.
Oh yeah.
Over the weekend in downtown Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
But is this going to be an every weekend thing now?
It's not sustainable.
It
really is not sustainable to keep doing that. I mean, who's going to go get the command center, roll it out? I mean, they had officers on foot patrol. I think they had the bike officers out. They had a lot of people out. We all know they're short-staffed, 150-plus officers. How do you sustain that?
Well, and we got messages like on the Shreveport Security Systems message board that says, yeah, there was 3 minutes of continuous gunfire
right
in Cedar Grove.
Right, right. something people are missing in this, and I don't know if the, I'm sure the mayor and the police chief are aware, but when you tell officers they're going to work extra shifts, okay, you're going to work an extra 4 hours on Friday night and Saturday night, we pay overtime for that.
Right, sure.
And that's not the cost of a regular police salary. That's that's time and a half, I guess. I don't know what the police union requires, what the civil service requires, but we have to figure out what is our overtime budget looking like now. As we have these calls for more police, more police, more police, well, when you start saying more police and you don't have any more officers, you're then calling for overtime.
You're bringing in off-duty officers and paying them overtime.
Overtime, time and a half typically, or maybe more. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But what's the overtime budget look like?
And at what point would it make more sense to hire more officers instead of paying time and a half for your existing?
And I know that's what they want to do, but like the chief told us when he was here, people don't want to be police officers anymore.
Yeah.
It's not an appealing profession any longer. A, it doesn't pay enough. B, you're not respected in the community.
Right.
I mean, it's a big, big problem. And they're trying to get lateral moves from officers in other communities, you know, to get them to move here. But it's been a real big problem. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is. But I'd be curious what the police overtime budget is. I think some city council leaders need to look at that and go, how does it compare to 5, 10 years ago? What are we paying in overtime? When we were fully staffed, what was our overtime budget? What did it look like? I'd be real curious.
Because if you've got experienced officers and they're going, let's see, Shreveport or Plano, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Where I can make $20,000 more?
And not nearly as dangerous?
Yes, exactly. I know a lot of officers have side gigs. Let's say they work a mall or they work wherever.
Sure.
They work at the Strand. If you tell me I can come in and work overtime or I can go work at the Strand and I'm going to make
$50 an hour,
whatever
or something,
it is,
right?
I want to work my part-time gig.
Well, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I don't want to come patrol downtown Shreveport where I may get involved in a fight.
Yeah.
And I may have to be hauling people to jail.
Less chance of being shot at a Strand Christmas concert.
Yes, exactly. Seriously, think about it.
Right.
I mean, so the cop, but I guess some of them are being told, hey, you're going to work extra hours. That's just the way it is. But I would love to look at that budget, and I may have to request that and see if I don't get a council member to dig it up for me. But I'm curious what the overtime costs compare like over the last 10 years. Because I'm sure it's way up there. And at some point, we got to find a unique way to bring in more cops. But anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Let's do a voluntary fee on the water bill.
Ooh, you didn't go there.
And I say that, and I'm not really making fun because, I do applaud our city officials, our mayor, and our city councilman, Grayson Butcher, did propose that. And there are people that would do that. There are people that would support a voluntary.
It's not nearly as many as they think.
No, I know. It's not going to raise.
Nowhere near half.
And it's not, in like Grayson, and like we said last week, it's not a sustainable fund.
No,
it's
not.
So you couldn't hire 10 officers because you couldn't pay them for the next 10 years or whatever.
Right, exactly. It wouldn't be sustainable. We got to figure it out, though. Because we need more police officers. And I don't know where you get them at this
point. That's the million-dollar question, though.
Yeah.
Because we're not obviously the only metropolis trying to fill our police force.
Right. And it's just a struggle. Everybody's looking for them, and there's few of them out there. There's very few of them out there. That's for darn sure.
Is today the actual anniversary?
Today's the day. It is the birthday of the United States Marine Corps. 250 years old today.
Special celebration that took place. Here's some of that coming up after Tim Fletcher Sports, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM. What?
Hoorah! Sorry.
710 KEO.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
Let's see. Nothing special about today. Don't throw anything at me.
Yeah. I get goosebumps when I start the Marines, the United States Marines, 250 years old today. I don't want to tear up, but as the mom of two Marines.
Active duty Marines.
Yes, and the daughter of an Okinawa veteran, may he rest in peace. You're going to indulge me today.
Absolutely.
It's not the whole piece. You can see the whole piece on our Keel Facebook page, but this is a portion of the salute today to the United States Marines on the 250th birthday.
Cream rises to the top, and that's what we have in the Marine Corps today. The Marine Corps is the operational Marine Corps, but there's another aspect of the Marine Corps. It's those former Marines or former active duty who are out there in all walks of life. It's amazing when you think of it.
Being in service was a privilege. It was the day of our lives, but it was a sacrifice. And your family is part of that sacrifice. And Marine wives or Marine spouses, they deserve a lot of credit as well. The kids being uprooted, moving. It's a sacrifice to serve our country.
Without the support of their loved ones and their immediate family, it's hard for them to complete their job. So again, it's so important for military families and Marine Corps families to understand that their role and the role that they play in supporting their loved one while serving is just as important.
For 250 years, we have proven there is no better friend and no worse enemy than a U.S. Marine.
For those people who wish evil upon the greater good, David Bellavia said it best, you know, somebody else will raise your children.
To the enemies of our nation, don't get comfortable. Whether you're in the air, at sea, or on the ground. We adapt. We always have, and we always will.
It's down to one-on-one, mano a mano, and you turn us loose. I can promise you this. You're not going to survive.
From our first amphibious landing at Nassau to the black sands of Iwo Jima to urban combat in Fallujah, our Corps has come a long way since Samuel Nichols first took command of two battalions at Tun Tavern. Though weapons, platforms, and technology continue to evolve, our individual Marines' grit, discipline, resolve remain our decisive advantage.
For 2.5 centuries, Marines have preserved our legacy as America's premier expeditionary force because we are forward, ready and lethal. From the moment a Marine earns their Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, they inherit a rich tradition of honor, courage, and commitment, a legacy that is etched on our souls forever. Our history is one of winning our nation's battle, and make no mistake, we will be called to fight again. We will be ready, and we will win.
Since our foundation, we have fought in every clime and place, upholding our oath and preserving who we are, the few and the proud. But we cannot break stride. We must continue to train for the next fight because victory will go to those who seize the initiative, impose their will, and never yield. The pursuit of excellence in the profession of arms is our heritage, forged by an unbreakable fighting spirit. The memorial behind us stands as a testament to that fact. We stand on the shoulders of the giants that came before us. We must not fail them. The challenge is on all of us every day to uphold the standard that the title Marine demands.
Happy 250th birthday, Marines. Semper Fidelis.
Back with more party on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Speaker of the House Mike Johnson spoke to us a little earlier this morning about the government shutdown. Hear what he's got to say right after this break. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
I'm so nervous. 1017 FM, 710 Kiel.
Me too.
Mike and McCarty.
He's a big shot.
On the Jack Spring. Look at my screen. Look. I took that picture too, by the way.
Wow.
House Speaker Mike Johnson joining us. Speaker, good morning.
Hey, guys. It is a good morning. Much better morning on Capitol Hill.
Absolutely. Before we get to that, I just real quick, 20 seconds. Are you in a motorcade right now?
No, I just stepped out. I got to the Capitol on time. We ran sirens, so you wouldn't have to hear that.
Wow. Wow.
How many people are in the car with you when you leave?
Well, I got, believe it or not, I have three Suburbans. I have a police car in the front and in the back. And I have a tactical unit, literally a truck full of guys in SWAT gear with their guns drawn at all times. It's crazy times.
You can't even believe it. So the government shutdown, is it over? What is the status? Give us the lowdown.
Well, it's the beginning of the end. Last night, they had a successful cloture vote. You know, 60-40 was the vote last night. Only one Republican, Rand Paul, who I can never figure out, voted against it. But you had eight Democrats cross over, and they did the right thing. You know, mm-hmm. All this is madness. Mm-hmm. This is now the longest shutdown in U.S. history, and some have called it the Seinfeld shutdown. It's literally about nothing. Chuck Schumer is the one that is the architect of the shutdown. He changed his tune almost daily. He kept moving the ball, you know, changing his demands. It was never about health care or any other issue. It was about him getting political cover from the rise of Marxism and the Democratic Party in his state.
Now, do they have to vote again, and then it goes to you guys on the House side?
Yes, they're working on the next stage of it. We expect that they will fast forward it, and no one will hold it up. And so that means instead of the 30 hours for each next stage of debate and all that, they'll run through it quickly, hopefully, and get it done maybe as early as today. So I'm going to have all the House members on a 36-hour return notice. That's how much time it takes to get everybody back, because we have people all the way on the West Coast and, you know, even overseas. So they'll get here, and we'll vote ASAP to get the government back open. And this, what happened last night, y'all, vindicates the position I've had since the beginning. Remember, the House did the right thing. We did the obvious thing. We passed a continuing resolution, a clean resolution, no partisan gimmicks attached at all, just simple, keep the lights on. I did it back September 19th. It seems like a lifetime ago now, but we've been waiting for the Senate to do the right thing. They finally are moving in that direction.
So your vote could be Wednesday or Thursday is what you're planning or looking at?
As soon as possible. I would love to do it on Wednesday. If quickly, then that can be possible. And then everybody gets relief. And look, included in this vote, okay, is that obviously the government reopens completely until January 30th, which is just ironically my birthday. I don't know. Maybe it's a good omen. I don't know. But we keep it open until then, and we'll work everything out between then and now and then. It will fully fund the SNAP program all the way through the end of the next fiscal year, which is September of 2026. We're going to make sure all the federal workers get their back pay that they've had to endure this terrible time during the shutdown. And we will keep government in operation again. There are lots of debates to be done on the unfinished business for the end of this year, but we got time to do that, and we'll get everybody back, and we'll be working around the clock to get it done.
Mike, you faced criticism for not having the House open during this shutdown. How do you answer that criticism?
Well, I've just been vindicated. I mean, what they wanted us to do is crazy things. Remember, the counterproposal that that Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats filed to our simple nonpartisan continuous was to spend $1.5 trillion with a T of brand new spending at a time when the country cannot afford it. But it was on crazy things. They were demanding we restore $200 billion to fund health care for illegal aliens again. That's taxpayers would pay for that. They were demanding that we send billions and billions of dollars back overseas to foreign countries for crazy social programs like LGBTQI awareness in the Horn of Africa and stuff like that. I mean, just a long list of madness. They wanted to pull $50 billion out of the Rural Hospital Support Fund that we just got signed into law on July 4th. It was a Republican priority. They wanted to strip it out. and all kinds of other crazy stuff. They wanted to fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Right.
And, I mean, that's where it was. $1.5 trillion of crazy things that they knew that we could never agree with, that I would never allow.
Let's talk SNAP just a minute. The president won the Supreme Court battle. He's now directed states who are paying full SNAP benefits to stop, or they could face problems. Louisiana's not paying full benefits, but we are paying some. Should Louisiana keep doing that?
Well, it should all be a moot point here now.
Okay.
In the next 48 hours. So Governor Landry sent me a text last night. He and I are going back and forth. I'm trying to get him a good answer. Hats off to Louisiana, one of the handful of states that took initiative to make sure that people literally didn't go hungry because of the Democrats' nonsense up here. They were doing heroic work. And by the way, the White House did not appeal those rulings gleefully. It was reluctantly. The problem is there was no money left in the SNAP account. And so we had a federal judge basically violating the separation of powers and telling the executive branch they had to raid other bank accounts.
Where does the SNAP money go, though? I mean, the money's still coming in. That's what I didn't understand.
Well, on the state level, they're basically using state funds and moving things around and praying that they get reimbursed. And obviously, we're going to work to make sure that happens. But the problem is there was this contingency fund that the Democrats kept saying, oh, they need to use. Well, it costs a little over $9 billion a month to fund SNAP because it goes to 42 million recipients. Okay, we only had a little over $5 billion in the account. So the point the White House was making to the court is that there's not enough. We want to fund them. I mean, remember, the White House bent over backwards to make sure that our troops did not miss a paycheck, you know, that the WIC funding, the Women, Infants, and Children funds for the nutrition supplement were funded. They had to be creative and find other accounts to do those things, but those accounts did not exist for SNAP. So the problem was the court was ordering the White House to do something that they literally did not have the money to do. That was the problem.
President is talking about sending us all $2,000 stimulus checks now over the weekend. He put that out there again. You think that's something Congress will support and pass?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I talked with him about it last night. I was with him. I went to the Commanders game just so we could have time, FaceTime, because he's been traveling and I've been all over the place. But there's a lot of things we have to resolve. And look, the tariff revenue is bringing in, it'll be bringing trillions of dollars, okay? So the question that we all have to decide together, he and I and the whole Congress, is do we want to pay down some of the national debt or do you want to somehow distribute that in payments to families and all of that? There are different ideas, different priorities. We've got to figure it out. But, I mean, my first inclination is to try to tackle this federal debt, y'all, because it's $38 trillion, and the higher it goes, the more that costs everyone in the long run. So we've got to be good stewards of this. So we'll figure it out.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, unbelievable that you agreed to join us this morning. I know it's a busy day, and we've got lots to go ahead.
I know you do. The Supreme Court is looking at that, or there were some federal judges that are trying to block Trump's tariff moves. What's the latest on that?
Well, we're awaiting the outcome of the Supreme Court case, and they had the oral argument last week, and you know, lots of people trying to read between the tea leaves there. But I told them I used to litigate those federal court cases. Don't read too much into what the judges are saying from the bench. You know, this is sort of part of the judicial review process. So we're hopeful that it'll get sorted out. I mean, the president's use of tariffs has created real leverage in America's trade strategy.
Absolutely.
The results speak for themselves. So, you know, as he points out all the time, free trade only works when it's fair, you know. So I hope the court will give deference to his ability to use that. The Congress has a role, of course. I'm a jealous guardian of Article 1 of the Constitution. The legislative branch is the most important one. But I don't think that the president has stepped outside of his lane in using that authority as he has thus far. And that's what the court ultimately has to decide.
Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We love you. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Same here. Mm-hmm. Great to hear your voices, guys.
You too. Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Veterans Day is tomorrow. It is a federal holiday. Note that.
Oh, so we're off tomorrow.
No, we're not. No. We're
what?
Not a federal government institution.
It's a federal holiday.
But most of them are off anyway, right? Because of the shutdown. Correct? Are you feeling sick? By the way, lots of restaurants do free food for veterans. And there's a long list. You can see it at keelnews.com. Just search for veterans. And it's a lot of restaurants. And it's real crowded because there are a lot of veterans that go from place to place to place. And they get their free meals everywhere they can, which I don't begrudge them. Knock yourself out. But by the time you're to your third
one, I've got a flight jacket. Like a nice flight jacket. Think I should wear one into a restaurant?
It's going to work. You're going to have to show a military ID, typically. Or your veteran card.
Aaron, you think I'm really going to go steal Valor?
You would not do that.
Think I would really do that?
You would not do that.
Jeepers.
No, you would not. But I have been with veterans before. And, you know, the person that's with them doesn't eat free.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly fine
with
that.
Of course not. And unless you served.
Yeah. But the crowds that are out for tomorrow, it's amazing. Yeah. You go in some of these places and there'll be a line out the door. And I just want to tip my hat to all the restaurants that do offer free things for veterans tomorrow because it's a big deal. And they have a veterans event going on at the State Fair. I'm not sure what day.
That's true. That's right.
This is the big week where they have the big parade and all that. Someone can shoot me a text. But State Fair final week. It's open Wednesday through Sunday. Then it's gone for the year. So if you haven't been yet, it's time to get her done.
Richard Llewellyn told us they've had great weather the entire run. Looks like rain is coming in Saturday, especially on Sunday.
So they might have a little bit of a wash the last day or so of the fair.
Now, they're not open today or tomorrow.
No.
So they'll be back open on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So if you did want to get out, I would take advantage of that.
They've had great crowds. I've seen some posts from that. Now, I have seen things, people posting the saying it's expensive. I mean, the everything you want to do for food and all that, because inflation has hit. You know, the food is going to cost you more than you're anticipating, I would bet. So just know that ahead of time and plan for it. So you're ready and you don't freak out when you go get your turkey leg and it's $15 or $20.
Hoorah.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to the United States Marine Corps. 250 years old.
Incredible.
And don't even need a walker.
They sure don't.
Dang straight.
No, but no doubt.
Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.